turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. And I know that in your bulletin, I haven't actually looked at it where it says in your bulletin, but it has the text there in John 8. And we will be coming back to John 8. Our text this morning is twofold, John 8, 32 and 36. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. This morning, I'm going to take a somewhat unusual format. If you have ever studied homiletics, there are multiple different sermon formats. The one I'm going to use this morning, Lord willing, will be foundation, exposition, application. In other words, we will begin the message by laying a foundation in Scripture, and then we will take a different passage and we will consider that passage verse by verse, and then we will endeavor to take what we've learned from the passages and make them practical, apply them to us today. If you have your place there in Hebrews chapter 11, there are 40 verses in the chapter, so I'm not going to read them all. I will tell you where we're skipping a few to another verse, but we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And not to break our reading too much, but what a great verse on creation. The evolutionists take the things that do appear and try to understand what happened in the past. We take the word of God and we understand the end from the beginning. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they which say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Grab on to that phrase. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Grab on to that phrase. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible. Verse 32. And what shall we say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God providing some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. This 11th chapter of Hebrews, which we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, which tells us of our brethren and our sisters who endured things that we can only imagine, and endured them with grace, endured them for Christ, is the foundation of the message we're going to consider this morning. Let us bow for prayer as we enter into God's Word. Father, bless your Word to us today. Point us to Christ in the Word. Father, we know not what the future holds, but we know Him who holds the future. We have enjoyed great blessings and freedoms and liberties from man's standpoint in this land in which we dwell. And, oh Lord, we do love the United States of America. And we are so blessed to be its citizens. And yet, we are citizens of a greater kingdom. And this world is not our home. And we have no guarantee that the United States will be the same United States in 6 months. We have no guarantee that the physical liberties which we have so enjoyed will be with us tomorrow. But Father, we thank you that the Son has made us free. Not set us free, made us free. And we are free indeed, regardless of what happens in this world. Bless us now, Lord, as we consider the exposition of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to John chapter 8. And as I've mentioned already, our text will be taken from those two verses, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not set you free. It shall make you free. There's a vast difference, and our translators got it right. We're not set free. We are made to be free. And if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We think of being free in Christ, and we typically think of the fact that we are free from the penalty of sin. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are free from the pollution of sin, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed his transgressions from us. We are free from the power of sin. There hath no temptation taken thee, but such is common to man. And someday we will be saved from the presence of sin. We dwell today in the presence of sin, but someday we will dwell with the Lord in heaven and we'll be free from the presence of sin. Now, if you're looking for an outline this morning, that's all you get. Because I'm not really using an outline per se. But that's not the freedom I want us to consider this morning. We read there in our foundational passage about all these great and godly saints enduring all kinds of deprivations and murderous acts, and being in prison, And yet I submit to you that every one of them lived their lives in freedom. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the state of the body. You see, yes, Christ has set us free in all the manners in which I listed there that we're free from the power of sin, presence of sin, penalty of sin, etc. And yet there is a greater freedom that we find in the saints of God throughout the Word of God, who often were bound in prison. But I tell you what, they were free because Christ has set them free. And I'm skipping all around from my notes this morning and probably won't use my notes that much. But think about this illustration. An American, a citizen of the United States, is a free man. This free man becomes a U.S. Marine. We have some service members with us today. And this free man goes to Vietnam, and he is captured by the North Vietnamese, and he is put into Hanoi Hilton. Is he a free man? Yes, he is. He's a United States citizen. He is a free man who happens to be a POW. You see, they can bind his body, but what he is a free man, regardless of what they do to his body. And I submit to you today that we as Christians are POWs in this world. We are free men. The world can do all kinds of things to our bodies. But Christ has made us free. Christ has set us free. And when we come to John chapter 8, we find the entire chapter is a back and forth and back and forth debate between Christ and the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes are touting their heritage, touting their family, touting their liberties. And Christ says, you're not free at all. But if I make you free, you shall be free indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And it is the truth that shall make you free. Let us begin in verse 28 of John 8. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ is preaching to this multitude. The scribes and the Pharisees are leading a mob. They've got BLM behind them, or BML, or whatever it is. They've got them behind them. And they're out in front shouting the chant for everybody else to repeat. But Jesus speaks the truth. And in the multitude, many believe on him. They are made free by the truth. They are made free by the truth that he speaks. Here Christ gives a word of caution and yet a word of great prospect to these that believe on him. It is a word of caution there in verse 31. If you continue in my words, then shall you be my disciples indeed. It is a caution because remember the parable of the sower, where there was some seed that fell among thorns and it sprang up and was choked. There was seed that was received with joy, but it didn't last. And Christ says, if you continue in my words, you are indeed my disciples. It's a word of caution to the young believer. Make your calling and election sure, because there are many that will get excited about it today and fall away tomorrow. But it's also a word of prospect. If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. It is absolutely true. What a glorious prospect. And that word indeed is a word of certainty. It's the same word that Luke's account uses of the centurion who says, certainly this was a righteous man. It's a word of absolute surety. Note that discipleship and true belief are both tied to the Word of God. Those that we find taking a glorious stand for truth and righteousness in our foundational passage in Hebrews, they had faith, faith, faith. Where did they get it? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is it that will sustain the church of God when the trials come? It is the Word of God. What is it that Satan has tried to stamp out again and again? It is the Word of God. What is it that communist nations take first from people? They take away the Word of God. What is it that our society is trying to take off the walls of our courthouses? The Word of God. I'm disturbed when they tear down monuments of great men. But you know, Christians have gotten kind of used to having the Ten Commandments taken off walls. We used to protest that back in the 70s when the idea first was floated. But today we just kind of accept it without much rebuke. Prayer and Bible reading were removed from our public schools, and our streets are full of the results today. Now, that can greatly upset us because our nation is falling apart all around us. But folks, it's not really our nation. We're just POWs here. This world is not our home. And these folks that are our foundational passage in Hebrews, they wandered in caves. They were destitute. Not to mention being slain with the sword and so on. But why did they endure it all? Because they sought a country, even a heavenly. They were not ashamed to call Him their God. And they went through all these trials and all these difficulties, and they didn't receive the promises yet. And the reason they didn't receive the promises yet is because of Hebrews 11 verse 40. We've got to be added in before the promises are fulfilled. It was for us. And coming back to our exposition text, discipleship and true belief are always tied to the Word of God. Look at verse 37 of our text, John 8:37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. And you don't need to turn there, but in the 14th chapter and verse 21 of John, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Verse 32 of our text, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I've already alluded to the fact there is a great difference between being set free and being made free. Yesterday, I was working on my back porch early in the morning, and I set my cat free. She's an indoor cat, but she loves to be outside. And I set her free. I walked out on the porch. I slid open the screen door. And I said, Spiegel, come on, little kitty. And she walked out. and she ate some grass, and she sniffed the leaves, and she just loved being out there. And about a half an hour later, I was ready to come in, and I said, "Come on, kitty, come on, kitty." And I opened the door, and she sat down as if she didn't hear me. And she wouldn't look at me. And I walked over to her, and I reached down, and I picked her up. And when I picked her up, she went, "Ow." Which is her way of saying, "I don't want to go back in yet." I set her free. But I did not make her free. You see, if I made her free, she would never be in the house again. And that's the difference. Christ has not set us free, because if you are set free, you can be captured again. But when you are made to be free, you are just like that American POW in Vietnam. They can bind up his body. They can do whatever they want to his body. But they cannot take away his freedom, because he's a free man inside, regardless of where the body is. And that is the state of the Christian in this world. They can do whatever they want to the body, but Christ has made me free, and this world cannot take away that freedom. Verse 33, continuing with our exposition. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Notice the "they" there in verse 33 is not talking about the many which believed. It's talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. This is the unbelieving Jews. You see, they were Abraham's seed. And they claimed that they had never been in bondage. I guess they'd forgotten all about Pharaoh. And notice how they said it. God's word is so perfect. Never been in bondage to any man. They don't have any idea what he's talking about. Christ is not talking about being in bondage to man. And they won't even admit that they are in bondage to man, because they were looking for a Messiah to deliver them from these guys called the Romans. You know, with the funny hats with the red things on top and the spears and shields. Those guys, they were in bondage to man at the very moment. And the entire history of Israel was a repetition of bondage after bondage after bondage, captivity after captivity. You see, God's word had no place in them. They had no concept of what the word of God is. And that is why, on the way here today, we were behind a van that had religious bumper stickers on it, and that "What Would Jesus Do?" And underneath of that, a bumper sticker said "Gay Pride" on the same vehicle.
Of course.
That is why we have churches that are saying, "Oh, it's okay to be homosexual. God loves everybody." But I'm getting into our application. Let's stay with the exposition for a while. You see, these Pharisees and scribes, these religious leaders, were so blind that they wouldn't even admit that they were in bondage to man. And they, because God's word was not in, they had no concept of the freedom that Christ was really talking about. Jesus is not talking about physical bondage or physical liberty. Remember Galatians 4, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son." They tried to have another way to God. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You see, the unbeliever, the man in the street, says, "I'm free, I'm free, I can do whatever I want to. I can marry anybody I want to now, because now it's legal for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. It's legal, I can do what I want to." God's law didn't change. Just because man says you can do it doesn't mean you're free to do it. The unbeliever says, "I'm free." Christ says, "You're deeper in bondage than you could ever imagine. You're the servants of sin." Romans 6:16. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. While they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Verse 35, Christ answers their nonsense. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. The Pharisees were claiming their relationship to God based on a physical relationship. We're the children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. Christ says, you are of your father the devil, verse 40. And the works of your father you will do. Don't talk to me about your physical lineage. You are bond slaves to Satan. You are not free at all. They are the slaves of sin and the children of the devil. Verse 44. I said verse 40 a moment ago, but it's actually 44. The Son abideth not forever. You see, the servant abideth not forever. The servant's position within the family is temporary. The servant can be removed from the family for any offense or for no offense at all. Remember Hagar and her son? Cast out the bondwoman. What have they done? Nothing at all. Just Sarah didn't want him around anymore. But we're not bondmen. We are the family of God and remain forever. And so, if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. You're following your father, and you're in bondage. Then said they say unto him, if Abraham is our father, Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of my father, God, I heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we are not born of fornication, for we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and come forth from God, neither came I of myself. And so, man says they're free. But man's definition of freedom is doing whatever he wants to do. But that's not freedom at all. Rather, he that doeth sin is the servant of sin. Christ has not set us free. He has made us to be free. He has made us to be free by our very nature. You see, God has freed us not to do whatever we want to do, but to do whatever He wants us to do. For the unbeliever cannot pray. Their prayer is an abomination. The unbeliever cannot worship. The unbeliever is bound in his sin, but the child of God is made free. And so we have the foundation in Hebrews chapter 11, which shows us the great men of faith who have lived as free men in spite of everything around them. We have the exposition in John chapter 8, where Christ very clearly shows us the difference between the world's freedom and the freedom that we have in Christ. And it is freedom indeed, for the world indeed is in bondage. But what is the application? Well, for application, I would turn our hearts and minds to Daniel. Daniel, as a very young man, was taken captive. Daniel very well may have been in line to be the king. If you look at the Daniel closely, you find that they were to choose the king's sons and the princes. And you always have Daniel and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And the very structure of it gives the indication that Daniel was predominant and these were lower, the sons of the king and of the princes. You have Daniel as a young man who was ready to learn the wisdom of Babylon because he already knew the wisdom of Israel. He was already trained in sciences. Daniel, who is recognized as the leader even by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which gives more indication that they recognize that this is the one who would have been our king. Daniel lost his freedom. It's most likely that Daniel also lost his manhood. Mm-hmm. He was put in the charge of the eunuchs. We never find a wife. We never find a family, even though we follow his life to old age. Daniel was told, Daniel, don't you pray. And if you pray, you're going into the lion's den. Daniel exercised his freedom, regardless of consequences. Daniel was free to pray. It did not matter what the king said. Daniel was free to pray, and he exercised that freedom. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down to the God of this world. Bow down to secular humanism. Bow down to abortion. Bow down to immorality. Bow down before the homosexuals. You've got to hire them. You can't refuse to hire them. You've got to rent them your apartment. You can't discriminate against them. You can't speak against them because that's hate speech. Bow down to the God of this world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were free to stand.
That's right.
Even though they would face the consequences of their stand. Remember our foundational scripture. They were sawn asunder. They were slain with swords. They lost their homes. They wandered in the poorest clothing you can imagine, sheepskins and goatskins. And they lived in caves. But they were free. Stephen, what are you doing? You can't say that, Stephen! And the rocks flew. The rocks flew. And Stephen paid for his freedom with his life. In our own beloved nation, in California this morning, you cannot sing in church. But the Word of God says, sing unto the Lord a new song. We were told a few weeks ago that we could not meet. And we very willingly, and I believe properly, in the right spirit, submitted to the king's command for a time. But we are commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I do not believe we did forsake the assembling. We changed our format. We're done with that now. And regardless of the king's command, I don't know that we'll ever go back to the way we were a few weeks ago.
Amen.
Because when they can tell us that you can't meet for a virus, then they can also tell us that our message is not socially acceptable. If they can tell us we can't sing, they can tell us we can't teach our children. If they can tell us that we can't have a fellowship meal, they can tell us we can't take the Lord's Supper. And it goes on and on and on. We are free, and we will always be free. The free men of the Word of God paid heavy, heavy consequences, and even their lives for their freedom, but they died free men. You see, if the Son shall make you free, not set you free, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that freedom can never be taken away. And so, what do we do when they tell us we can no longer preach against homosexuality? It's a sin and God hates it. It's an abomination before God. I don't care what the law says. God's law never changes. What do we do? What do we do when churches are challenged just like bakers, where homosexuals come to a church and desire to be married, and the church says no? What do? We must stand. We're free to stand. What do when the state comes along and says that you can no longer homeschool your children? You can no longer send your children to a Christian school because you're making religious fanatics out of them. You're teaching them from the Word of God, which warps young minds. We all know that's true. That's true. The Word of God warps young minds. You know what? It is true. The Word of God takes a young man and it changes it dramatically. It warps it all up. Yeah. It takes all the nonsense of this world out of the mind and places with that mind something that is radically alien. The truth of God. And that Word has the power to lead that child to eternal life. But what do when we're told that we will lose our physical freedom if we train our children? I am blessed to have had a father who faced that very thing. My father was given 30 days to shut down a Christian school or go to jail. I was 7 years old and I was terrified. But it made an indelible mark on my life. Because my father said, I may go to jail, but this school will be open to train our children. Mm-hmm. And it finally ended up in the Maryland State House in Annapolis. Mm-hmm. And my father was called on to testify before the Maryland State House. And he said, we have the religious right to train our children to know Jesus Christ. We have the religious right to follow the Word of God. The state is wrong to impose. And the state was saying that Harford Christian School was giving an inferior education. So my father brought in the test scores from Harford Christian and the test scores from the public school. And the Christian school kids were 2 years ahead of the public school kids. And he said, it's actually discrimination. You let them give an inferior education, but you won't let us give an inferior education. We are free men. We have a heritage of free men, our foundation. We have an explanation of our freedom. It's not freedom of the body. It's not freedom of this world. It's freedom from Satan. It's freedom to do right in Christ. And we find the application right before us. Because in this day and age, we are called upon to stand for truth and righteousness. Today, we meet here in freedom. But don't try to do it in the Soviet Union. Mm. Don't try to do it in China. Mm. Don't try to do it in North Korea. Mm. Or in Muslim lands. Mm. And those that are marching in the street want to bring that same thing right here. And they may well succeed. Mm-hmm. We're POWs. But we are free. Yes. Let us pray.